BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Yeah, it's Friday and this is the Scott Mills Daily Podcast. On it, we send Chris out to be the world's worst and most obvious mystery shopper. Pictures online you need to see, and a good video. Real or No Real features Matt Edmondson and pandas having it off. Dear Scott, the posh Radio 4 lady reads out what you've been saying to us this week, and more people become full-on Nesbians thanks to our big thing this week from Nina Nesbitt.
BBC Radio 1.
Yesterday we were talking about how a lot of you and me spotted the bloke with the massive tablet taking pictures of the Pope during the papal coverage the other night. Just looks stupid. People that take pictures with an iPad or similar tablet look ridiculous.
It just looks wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, he certainly did. In front of billions of people watching on TV. Rebecca's been on since we chatted about that. And she wants to give a big shout out to the person who completely ruined the Olly Murs concert for her last week. This was on Sunday night, also because of a large offending iPad, which the bloke was aiming towards the stage. It just looks stupid. Get a camera, use your phone. It looks like you're holding up a baking tray.
But it's true that, and from a practical point of view as well, you are blocking a massive, it's a massive block of the view, isn't it?
She couldn't see anything. Put it down.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Loads of good response about my big thing this week, which is Nina Nesbitt. She's 18, new talent. She's been playing quite a few gigs recently. And yeah, a lot of people just been on saying they really like the song. I heard Grimmy play it earlier as well. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Scott.
You okay?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
What are you saying about Nina Nesbitt then?
I just think she's really good. I've seen her support Ed Sheeran for the first time, and then I went to see her last year, and I'm going again on Saturday, so quite looking forward to that.
So you're converted?
I am, yes. Full on lesbian.
Excellent. I'm also a lesbian now. I like it.
Me too.
All right, good to speak to you. Have a good weekend. Love you, bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, Gordon.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Yeah, you love a bit of Nina Nesbitt, don't you?
She's brilliant.
Where did you see her?
Tina Park, BBC Introducing Stage.
And you got something you want to say, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm Gordon, I'm 23, and I'm a lesbian.
Shout it louder!
I'm a lesbian!
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I hope everyone in the street stops staring soon, but that'll be okay.
You're fine.
Thanks.
Good to speak to you, Gordon.
And you, sir.
Love you, bye.
Love you.
Some kind of uniform. It seems that you think they're gangsters. They barely started 6 foot.
Nina Nesbitt and Stay Out on BBC Radio 1. Hey Chris, got some brilliant news.
Oh yeah.
You know we like that song a lot.
Mm.
Guess who's playing Innuendo Bingo next Thursday?
Oh really?
Nesbitt's on.
A Nesbianism special.
It's going to be a Nesbian special of Innuendo Bingo next Thursday with Nina Nesbitt. Nice one.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I'm talking about mystery shoppers this week because I am generally fascinated by them. And some members of the team have never actually heard of them before, but they go into shops, they go into restaurants, petrol stations. One of my mates has just become one, thinking that he would get to test out loads of like new hotels and spas, and actually had to go to a train station with the timetable printed out and just see what trains were late and which ones weren't. It's a varied amount of work and you don't know what you're going to get. But sometimes you do get like free meals and you go in and you rate the service of the place that you're in.
Weren't some people saying you've got to climb the ladder with it as well? So you start off like...
You start with the slightly more rubbish ones and then kind of move your way up. And loads of people have been on saying that it's either happened to them, they've had a mystery shopper in their place of work, or they've been one themselves. Serena, hi.
Hi.
Right, so you were the victim, if that's the right word, of one when you worked in a coffee shop, right?
Yeah,
right.
I worked in... Oh, John, it.
Was it a famous coffee chain?
It was perhaps the most famous one with the green straws.
Oh, okay. Does it rhyme with Rarbucks?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I've got that now. All right, so the mystery shopper comes in.
Yeah, it was like the opening of a brand new store. We were alerted to the fact that we would be getting mystery shoppers quite often.
All right, so they told you.
Yeah, we were made aware to look out for kind of suspicious behaviour. and then after, you know, a month or so, I figured out who the woman was. She had a shaven head, and I'd always know because I'd always see her approaching, and I'd always say to my manager, she's coming, hopefully. Then my manager would switch positions with me because it was all a bit daunting at first.
Right, so she had a shaven head. That's actually very distinct.
Yeah, she had a shaven head, and she'd always wear like a big black parka and have a clipboard, which could have been a telltale sign, but she could have just been a charity worker on the high street.
Oh, she was really inconspicuous, wasn't she, with a clipboard?
Yeah, so she'd always order a tall cappuccino because you know that they'd go into their car to weigh it to make sure that you have the right amount of milk and froth.
Whoa, hang on a second. She went into a car to weigh the coffee?
Yeah, they'd always, once they'd order, quickly take the cappuccino and weigh it to make sure that you were getting the right amount of milk and froth.
Well, so she's got coffee scales in her car?
Yeah. that's pretty much it. And then after a while, I kind of figured out that it was my friend's mum from school. I wasn't even particularly close to the lad, but, you know, it's nice to use people when you can. So I'd always say to her, oh, how's your son? And then after that, we'd always get 100%.
Right, so you knew her son because you went to school?
Yeah.
With him, and so after that got 100% score?
Yeah, every month.
Love that, and also love that she had scales in her car to weigh the coffee. That's
really
my favourite. Hi, Ali.
Hello.
All right, so you worked in a car showroom, yeah?
I did, yeah.
How could you tell who the mystery shopper was?
Right, well, we had them a few times, but you could never really tell until one day someone nudged me to say, oh, there's one over there. So I turned round, and they always came in with, like, hats on or really oversized handbags, like, hidden under their armpit, like, under their arm. Yeah. So they'd walk into the showroom. They'd obviously inconspicuously linger around empty desks for, like, loads of amounts of time until they'd find as many members of staff as possible to talk to. They'd talk to them, then come to the desk and ask ridiculous questions like, where are the toilets, which were right behind us, and there was a big sign above our desk to say that that's where it was. And they'd try and get as much information as possible from people. But we found out after that they'd used to wear tape recorders and obviously had cameras in their bags. So that's why they wore, like, really big handbags under their arms so that they could see exactly where they were walking around the showroom.
And they had hats on, like a disguise?
Yeah, we think it was because they had an earpiece in or, like,
this is amazing.
Device or something like that.
This is so good. In a car showroom, right?
In a car showroom, yeah. And so if there was empty desks, they'd stand by them for a long amount of time so they could obviously show on the camera that there was nobody at that particular desk. But if we saw someone there, we'd ring through on our internal lines to the extension numbers on the salespeople's desks that were free, and we'd say, look to your right, there's someone there at that desk. So
clever.
They'd get up then and talk to them.
Oh, how did you score? All right.
Yeah, I never had a bad report. Like, I never got called into the office to watch the video back, but I know a few people that did, and it's so embarrassing because you have to watch the video back.
Of yourself being rubbish? Oh,
yeah,
no.
Oh. I never got called in, luckily, but yeah, I know a few people that have.
That's good knowledge. Thank you, Ali. Love you, bye.
No problem. Love you, bye.
That's good. See, when we send you out, it needs to be a disguise.
Right.
I like this. Maybe a clipboard or a notebook. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Right, so you worked at a fish and chip shop.
I work in a fish and chip shop, yeah.
You do now, but you used to be a mystery shopper.
Yes, I did.
Right, what did you have to do?
Well, we went to a bowling alley, and basically we had to go in, look at how the staff was, look at the hygiene, overall experience. And obviously, because I used to do it when I was quite young, it was like, were the child friendly?
Right.
And yeah.
How old are you now then?
I'm 18 now.
Okay, so you're doing it when you were really young.
When I was like 12, yeah.
Okay, so how did the bowling alley do from what you scored them?
Well, we gave them quite a bad report because it was disgusting, and we got a letter in the post saying that they were being taken into extreme consideration, and we went past about a few weeks later, and it was closed, all boarded up, and everything.
So you got the bowling alley closed down?
Oh,
we did indeed.
At the age of 12.
At the age of 12 with my mum, dad, brother and sister.
Bye, Mega Bowl. whatever it was. Feel the power.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah, you were a powerful 12-year-old.
I know. It's brilliant.
They closed it.
They closed it. All boarded up and everything.
Wow. Thanks, Beth. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi.
You all right?
Yeah, that's right, thanks.
Right, you used to be a mystery shopper, is that right?
No, I was never a mystery shopper. I went for lunch one day at a well-known burger place. I don't know if I can say the name of it or not. It's Golden Arches.
Yeah. Oh, is it the one that rhymes with...
I don't know.
Pack...
Monalds?
Monalds.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Okay, good.
A couple of lads at work there having a smoke outside, and they were talking about they're expecting a mystery shopper. And I happened to have a notepad on me because I was going to sit down and do some work while I was having my lunch. So I've got my notepad out while I was in the queue and just started to jot things down. When I got to the till to pay for my meal, they said, no, it's on the house there.
Right, so you're pretending to be a mystery shopper?
Yeah, I thought I'll see if I can get away with it. And yeah, I did.
Just by having a notebook?
Yeah.
And did you try it again at all?
No, I didn't know whether to or not. But if I'm ever stint and I want some lunch, I might try it.
Yeah, I can't condone that, but yeah, it worked for you. You pretend mystery shopper. All right, I'm going to play Daughter and Still. I love you. Bye, Chris.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC
Radio 1. Right, so where are you, Chris?
Right, so I'm outside a popular cafe, sort of near work.
Is it the one we go to quite a lot?
It's one that we've been to before. I don't want to say which one at the moment, but it's not the one that we did the shouting in before. This is new territory.
Excellent.
But it's lunchtime and it's quite popular.
So today I want to make you the world's worst mystery shopper. I want to make it so blatant and see how they react.
Right, OK.
So at this point, somebody that's with you will now hand you a bag if you'd like to grab the bag.
Oh, yes, thank you very much.
Now, you've not seen what's in this.
No.
If you have a little open of the bag and tell me what you see.
Okay, there's a number of props. There's a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Should I take that out?
Take the T-shirt out and maybe put it on, please.
That's a white shirt that says Mystery Shopper along the middle of it in massive writing.
Yep. Doesn't get much more obvious than that, really, if you say it on the T-shirt.
There's a little black notebook with pen.
That's right. That's to write your notes about how well they're doing.
I say, okay, this is where it gets interesting. There's a newspaper with eye holes cut out of it.
So you
and then there's also a cunning disguise, which is some glasses, nose and moustache, like plastic, all in one job. And I've also been given a pipe.
That's right. Now, with the eyebrows and moustache combo...
Yeah.
I've got these special ones for you. The eyebrows go up and down, and so does the moustache. All you've just got to do is wind it up.
Okay, I'll do that.
So when you get in there, just wind them up, okay?
Yeah, okay. Can you hear that? Yeah, they go up and down. It looks...
Yeah.
Do I put these on now?
Or? I think so, yeah. It's fresh battery, okay. So it shouldn't run out.
Okay, good. And the pipe, I take it, I just hold. So... right now, someone's taking a photo of it. I just look like I've got this shirt on, mystery shopper, and I'm wearing the glasses thing.
Brilliant. Okay, now I want you to go in and I will say in your ear what you need to say to the people, all right? So I'm imagining that you have to wait for a table in there. Okay.
Yeah, I've just seen my reflection in the window.
I love the newspaper with the holes in. That's one of our listeners' ideas.
Oh, it's busy. So I'm just holding open the door for someone.
Are you in?
I'm in. I'm just waiting, trying to get their attention, which is bizarrely difficult, considering what I'm wearing. Oh, my God, I've just spotted someone that I recognise.
It's all right, they won't recognise you.
Hello, you're right.
Staying in? Should I get you a table?
Yes.
Which table would you recommend?
Do you mind if we put you somewhere on the back?
Why?
If that's your best table, why the back?
Because we've got four people already behind you, waiting for the
table. But why is it your best table?
Okay. Why is this your best table?
Unless you need more space, we can put you over there if you like on the side. Hi, how are you?
If this is your best table, I'll stick to the best table.
Yes, you know, I need the menu.
Thank you for the menu.
Now, can I ask, are you wearing the eyebrow and moustache combo at the moment?
Is it worth me winding it up?
Wind it up, you might get her attention.
Hang on. Yeah, she's just sort of staring at me, like, every now and then. I can't fault her service, though. I mean, she's unfazed.
Shall I bring something to drink for you, sir?
Something to drink? Yes, please. Can I have your finest coffee?
Would you like mocha with a bit of chocolate to make it
what's
sweet?
What's the best?
What's the best?
This one is quite good, if you would like to try, or we can add some syrup.
I have to commend you on your very quick service.
I have to commend you on your very quick service. I'll do the wine.
So what shall I bring, sir?
That would be lovely. Can I have the mocha, please? But make sure you make it as good as possible.
So I place the order, then?
Yes, please. Thank you. I felt a bit rude there.
Now, I would like you to get out in the notebook and start making notes.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of note? Should I do it so that she sees I'm writing the notes?
Yes, if you just put a very quick service.
Or should I criticise her?
Good table.
Good table. I'll leave it, so when she brings the coffee over, I'll just have it there, resting. Right.
Yeah, so she sees it.
And then should I do a number to scare her? Should I do like 7 out of 10 or something?
Yes, right. Please, write that down and where she can see it.
In really big writing.
Yeah. Use the whole page.
Yeah. And then what I'll do is, I think what I'm learning here is she comes over whenever I do the, whenever I wind up the face.
Well, wind them up then.
There's a small child who loves this right now, right?
When she comes back, I want you to say in your mystery shopper voice, thank you very much. This is a lovely coffee for a very important person.
You go, sir. Mocha is ready.
This is a lovely coffee for a very important person.
Is there anything else for you?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, that wasn't right. That wasn't how I meant it to come out.
They're not... They're not even bothered that you're a mystery shopper.
No, I don't know what more I can do.
I think you're making
Should
it quite
I do
obvious.
The newspaper or something?
Right. Okay, right. You know, yeah, the newspaper needs to come out now. It's got nice big holes for your eyes in, right?
Well, yeah. Hearing through a newspaper with holes in it, people. I look like a crap spy.
Did she see your marks out of 10?
Oh, she must have. It's a massive, like... It's right next to her when you put the coffee down.
Chris, why don't you try and get something on the house for free?
Yes, sir.
Hello, are you okay? Can I have something on the house?
No, sir, sorry.
Okay. Can I have the bill, please?
Sorry, sir?
The bill.
Yes, I'll bring it for you right now.
Thank you. She just sort of... just smiled. I don't think they know how to deal with me.
Yeah, I think you should just reveal yourself. They don't even care that you're the mystery shopper, the world's most obvious one.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
I think what needs to happen now is you need to stand up in front of the whole place, bang the table and go, for 'tis I, the mystery shopper.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. Now.
For 'tis I, the mystery shopper.
Okay. Run. Run.
Just go silent in it. Oh, it's raining outside as well.
Come back, Chris. Well done.
Okay, thank you. Bye. BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily. Oh, bless. Yeah, so that was the world's worst mystery shopper. They didn't even care. If you want to see what Chris is wearing in the cafe, Radio 1 Facebook, get to it now, or Radio 1 Twitter, at BBCR1. You'll see the wind-up moustache and nose combo. That's pretty special, actually. You'll also see the T-shirt that says Mystery Shopper on it. That was what he was wearing in the cafe, at BBCR1 on Twitter, or Radio 1 on Facebook. Right, Chris?
Did you enjoy that?
I really enjoyed it.
It was awkward.
Really, really, really good. We have put a video on the Radio 1 Facebook and Twitter, which you must watch. We can't stop watching it in here. It's the moment when the mystery shopper enters the cafe for the first time.
Yeah, it's not very long.
It's not long, but it's brilliant. It's like, it'll take up a few seconds of your time, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. Radio One Facebook, and it's on the Twitter as well, a link to it. It is good. I don't know why. It's just funny. And I like the picture as well. I've just retweeted that. It's on the Radio One Twitter. And you can see what Chris was just wearing there with his wind-up eyebrows in the cafe. I really enjoyed that. I want to do something like it again.
It just felt awkward. Do you remember, it reminded me at the time of, remember where you made me spit to people in toilets?
Oh, Scott Talks to Men in the Toilets.
That's it, yeah. Scott Talks to Men in the Toilets, which was me in a toilet cubicle talking to blokes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was me just talking in your ear again. Oh, hang on. Still got the jingle.
Scott Talks to Men in the Toilets.
We should bring that back.
Oh, I'm not so sure. Do you remember? Because it's the most, that really is uncomfortable.
That's where we found out what blokes really think, by getting them on their own, away from their mates. And where do you do that? In the toilets.
I know, but just every time I feared leaving the toilets because I thought I was
going to
get punched.
We haven't done it for ages. If you quite like to see the return of Scott Talks to Men in the Toilet.
Scott Talks to Men in the Toilets.
You know how to contact me, just let me know.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, it's that music, isn't it? That means it's time for the posh Radio 4 lady. She doesn't walk out to anything else. It's Dear Scott.
Dear Scott, local legend Chris Stark, the one who replaced the one who doesn't speak, PR4L and anyone else that's hanging around.
Yo.
As you know, with all the hype about the viral video of local legend Chris Stark interviewing Mila Kunis, there have been lots of news reports. However, a few of them, including BBC America, who should know better since they are BBC, seem to think that Sir Dossa, the convict, and Chango the Beast are fictional characters on the Scott Mills show. It's almost as if they haven't even heard Tap End. This heresy needs to be stopped at once, and as such, I think you should call BBC America and ask them to publish a correction. Andy, off of Reading.
Right, they think that we've made up the characters, where in fact they're just your friends.
Yeah, they're just my mates. Really?
We haven't got any made-up characters. Like, they probably think Unlucky Gary's made up as well. He's real. That unlucky.
The thing is, I don't really know what I can do to prove my mates.
No.
But, I mean, they're well-known. If you listen to 24 Years at the Tap End, you would have heard about them in
that. Well, they don't. You see, also, here's the thing. Now that Mila Kunis video went huge, they should invest a bit more time in listening to our show, and then they'd know, you know?
Mm.
They'd be a bit kind of more clued up about what's going on. Like, who doesn't listen to Tap End?
And I can't really expect my mates to I don't know, like, a lot of them aren't on Twitter.
No.
So I can't really expect them to do that. Sadossa's on Twitter. I mean, you can go check him out. There's a picture of him. I mean, he's real. They've met him. In fact, you've met him.
I'm not BBC America. I'm not doubting that your friends aren't real. Next!
Dear Scott, Chris and PR4L. As much as I'm loving the recent hype over Chris's interview with Mila Kunis, at times I feel like some people who now call themselves fans of Chris are not fans at all. Last week, one of my housemates at uni asked if I'd seen the interview. He doesn't listen to the show. I replied that of course I'd seen the interview and that actually I was already a big fan of Mr. Stark. I would suggest that you make badges for those that are hardcore Starkies so that others know where our loyalties lie.
Starkies.
Do you think this is a good idea? Kindest regards and Scott Mills love. Jodie, off of Exeter Uni. P.S. I am beyond sad that Series 2 of Tap End has finished. P.P.S. Can we confirm there will be a Series 3?
No plans for a Series 3, I'm afraid.
That's the line we're saying, no plans.
No plans, but, you know, it's like when James Corden and Ruth Jones said that at the end of Gavin and Stacey, and then they still made a Christmas special. I'd like there to be the odd Christmas special, you know, like Royal Family.
Yeah.
In
terms of the other stuff, it's nice that... I think it's harsh to have a go at someone who says they like...
Yeah, but I think it's like she's saying she's been a fan for ages, and then all these people are just jumping on the bandwagon because of the Mila Kunis video without knowing our previous work.
Right.
That's what I think she's saying, is she wants badges for the proper Starkies. Because it's a bit like when people go, oh yeah, I knew this band before they even released anything in the mainstream. It's just like, all right, calm down. It's that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what I can do about that.
No, I think we all just need to calm down.
Yeah.
And here's a good one. Listen to this.
Dear Scott and Mr. Worldwide, a.k.a. Chris. I've recently been receiving a lot of stick from friends regarding a quiz show appearance I made on ITV's Tipping Point last year.
This is good.
During the quickfire answer round of the show, I was asked a question in which I awkwardly shout Germans instead of the correct answer, Martin Luther King. I wondered if anyone else had had a more embarrassing quiz show moment that they want to share and make me feel better about mine. Loving the show, Andy from Stockport, 22, former London Olympic opening ceremony peasant.
Oh, you were one of the peasants. Do you remember we had loads of them on at the time?
I remember him well. If this is the same man that was on, who was that shocked peasant that we had on?
That's right.
Do you remember we managed to freeze frame it on the moment he was on and he was just looking around?
He was so proud of that day. We had a lot of the peasants
was
on.
That him?
Yeah, it was him. I'm sure it was. Anyway, so he goes on Tipping Point,
which is brilliant in itself.
Absolutely. And instead of the correct answer, Martin Luther King just shouts out, Germans! You can't really, you can't star that out. It's one of them, isn't it? Anyone else that's kind of been on a quiz show and really embarrassed themselves, I would quite like to hear about. I mean, I've embarrassed myself pointless times on things like...
Oh, a hole in the wall.
Oh, well, that was just embarrassing,
now, that
wasn't
was
it?
Great, wasn't it?
Can we not... Right,
just looking
okay.
at that on YouTube the other day. It's on there if you want to find it.
We said that we would never mention hole in the wall again.
Are we allowed to mention the other ones that we said we'd never mention ever again?
What were they?
What was the one where you were in Bristol?
That's not a quiz show.
No, that wasn't a quiz show, to be fair. I'm trying to think what other ones you've done.
I've done a Big Brother one. I've done Nevermind the Buzzcocks. I've done Celebrity Juice.
Hole in the Wall's the best one, though.
Yeah, once again, not a quiz show, but thanks again for bringing that up.
I'm just looking at you now.
Turn that off! Turn it off!
In some silver... Oh!
Turn it off!
How good it was. You don't time your jump well, do you?
Turn it off. Why is that... Right, this is why I hate the internet sometimes.
YouTube, Scott Mills, hole in the wall.
Shut up! Right, I'm taking you off so no one can hear you. La la la. Try and talk. You can't. Anything else you want to say? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Any good quiz stories that you've got from when you've been on it and messed it up, send an email to me and we'll get it on next week's Dear Scott. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. It's just like the Vanessa kissing video. That's going to be there forever now. You can't get rid of it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon, Matt Edmondson.
Hello, Scott. You're all right?
I'm very good. Did you enjoy doing the show earlier in the week?
I did. I loved playing Innuendo Bingo.
I saw your tweets. You're getting very excited about it.
I was. I couldn't believe how quickly it all goes up and then comes down again. The sheeting comes in. It's like when it rains at Wimbledon. Yeah. And, you know, there's like a team of people stood by really quickly trying to cover the court. That happens, but in the Radio 1 studio. It was incredible.
It's a military operation which we've kind of honed over many months now.
We had a real disaster to begin with. It was like the start of Casualty. Someone tripped over some of the stuff over here, some of the sheeting you'd laid down. Water went everywhere, and within about 30 seconds had to be cleared up and refilled. It was great.
That would be like the worst episode of Casualty ever.
Yeah. I've got a slightly damp groin. Rush me to hospital.
I need to go to Holby.
Yeah.
Right, we'll talk about your show in a minute, which is on tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
But first, let's play Friday's Real or No Real. Always good to see Matt. Always good to have him in on a Friday. So, a selection of sentences here, which may be real, maybe not real. You tell me which is which.
Before becoming a wildlife presenter, Chris Packham worked in a zoo, where once a year he would have to dress up as a panda and perform enticing dances to encourage real pandas to mate.
Okay.
Remind me, Chris Packham.
You know Chris Packham.
He talks
a bit like that.
Yes.
He does. He's taken over on Springwatch or
I know
whatever
the one.
It is. Yeah.
I know the one.
Is he off the Really Wild Show?
He was on the Really Wild Show. When I like that Chris has just Googled him, and in, I would say, 70% of the photos, he's with an owl.
He is. He loves an owl. It's like all the pictures associated with owl. Underneath, it says naturalist as well.
No,
is that not...
No, you're a naturist. Yeah. Wrong. I mean, at some point in his life, Packham will have got naked.
Yes,
for a shower,
assume so, wouldn't
for
you?
A bath, but to impress an owl, but not necessarily for pleasure.
I'm not sure I like the idea of him dancing for pandas.
No, because this is the thing, isn't it? Pandas do have trouble breeding. I read a thing this week about pandas being shown filthy videos of other pandas.
Come on. No, they're not.
Yeah, to try and get them in the mood.
Come on,
you know,
they don't.
Yeah. They pop on a bit of, like, Barry White.
What?
Yeah, so they get a big TV screen and they film two pandas having a special cuddle And then they play it back to a panda that they are hoping is going to go and have a special cuddle to get it feeling a bit frisky. And then they send it in to meet a panda.
And does that... This is Jay. That works. Yeah. You're talking truth here.
I'm talking the truth. But whether Chris Packham is involved...
Chris Packham was one
on
of the
videos.
In that, is involved in that foreplay. I don't know.
Real or no real?
I don't know. I mean, he's a naturalist. I'm confused whether I'm getting it right now. Yeah. Naturalist rather than naturist, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's a naturalist. You'd think, yes, he would have an affinity with the animals. He would want to do anything to help the pandas give birth, create a baby, continue the species.
Anything.
Anything. I'm going to say real.
Okay, I'm going to say no real.
That one is no real.
Ah!
Wouldn't put it past him, though, would you? And next.
In 2002, the people of Hartlepool elected Angus the Monkey, the mascot for Hartlepool United Football Club, as the town's mayor.
What?
Angus the Monkey?
As the mayor.
Now, yeah. I don't really know much about football. Chris?
Yeah, well, you see, when I think the mayor of Hartlepool, I suddenly think Jeff Stelling, because I know he's a massive Hartlepool fan.
He's not the mayor, though.
But no,
he's
I
mayor
wondered,
of Countdown.
I assumed they might have put him forward for mayor because he's...
Mayor. Listen to how he says mayor.
I knew this would happen.
Listen.
I knew as soon as this
question
came up...
Put him forward for what, Chris?
The mayor of Hartlepool. Now, how do you say it?
Mayor.
Exactly.
I say mayor, and that's correct. You're saying it like John Mayer.
Mayor.
I'm not saying it wrong. It's the mayor.
The mayor.
Oh.
The major. Okay, so the mascot was the mayor of Hartlepool, real or no real?
This is... Can I just check... This is not a real live monkey called Angus, is it?
No.
It's a man in a monkey costume.
Yeah, this is a famous mascot. This is like, similar to the last one, it's like someone like Chris Packham in a monkey outfit.
Sure.
Dancing around on a football pitch. I'm saying real.
I'm going to say real as well.
That one is real.
Amazing.
Very weird.
And next.
Lake Chowbunagungamock in Massachusetts, USA, is a shortened version of the lake's proper name, which is Lake Chargogagog Manchowgagog Chowbunagungamog.
It is shorter, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Can I hear that?
Can I hear it again?
I think we need to hear it again. And here it is.
Lake Chowbunagungamog in Massachusetts, USA, is a shortened version of the lake's proper name, which is Lake Chargogagog Manchowgagog Chowbunagungamog.
Incredible name.
That's incredible. Again, stupid. I always think someone's making these up if they're no reals, and I think that's too difficult to make up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go along with that logic as well. I'm going to say real.
I like your logic. You're saying real?
Yeah, it's because it's hard, isn't it, to think of a word that doesn't already exist. Chris, a word that doesn't already exist.
It's
not that hard. It's not that hard. I might go back. I'm going to... You've disproved my theory. I'm going to say real.
I'm going to say real.
Real.
Real, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's an interesting one.
Radio 1's Sarah Cox has recently taken up the Olympic sport of dressage, sometimes known as horse dancing, and will be performing a routine at a pro celebrity tournament next week to LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem.
She's done this before, hasn't she?
Only Fools on Horses.
Oh, don't.
There was a TV show. Was that? Was she in that?
Yes.
So she's
got... So was I. They made me...
You were in that show?
No, I wasn't a contestant. I was.
You were one of the horses?
No, I was a horse. I have a fear of horses, so they decided to... I think Sarah Cox organised this, to put me on a horse, and I fell off it.
Oh, no.
On BBC One.
It's a traumatic story.
Mm. But I seem to remember some point last year, we were all gathered around a TV, unless this was a dream, because it feels like the kind of thing that might have been a dream, but we were all gathered in the old Radio 1 office watching Sarah Cox riding a horse down a straight. Like a proper horse race.
I mean, the Olympics was on last year. Sure, you're not confusing Sarah Cox for an Olympian horse
rider? I don't know where I'm getting this from.
What, like a proper race really fast? What are you on about?
No, she was...
She was not.
I'm almost certain she was on horseback riding fast.
And like a commentary like that?
Yeah, it was like, come out the rear, like the...
coming up the rear?
You get the idea.
The fast commentary.
Yeah.
Sure. So you're suggesting she was a jockey in a race like at the Grand National?
Yeah.
What are you... This is, must have been in some kind of dream.
It's a vivid dream. Is this not happening?
If this wasn't a dream.
This hasn't happened, Chris. Surely
did
not.
Did she win?